a round table. It's a Star Wars session special. Yeah, it is a round table. It's a Star Wars session special.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Roundtable Sessions. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Herd, and joining me as ever in the cockpit of this Essex Falcon is the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. He's a man who's so spicy, they've named an area after him, the Blyce Mines of Kessel.
Oh, yes. He's done it, people. Bly puns on the round tables again. So thank you, mate. Good. So good. We're here, mate. We've got a naughty round table for your ears. We are talking this week all about Clone Wars Season 7, and we got some juicy opinions for your ear holes. So should we introduce our guests, Matty boy?
I think so, yeah. It's a lovely round table we've got, a very handsome and beautiful round table, so let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it, mate. Okay, so first up, really, he doesn't need any introduction. You might know him as Tom Jones II. You might not even know him as royalty, because he's none other than the King of Wales. Luke Summerfield, say hello, mate.
Hello there.
Hello there. Welcome to the sessions, mate. You have been a supporter of ours from the early days, and we love you. We know that people love your opinion, so we are so happy to have you on, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be on. Can't wait to get stuck into this.
It's going to be large, mate. Look, listen to those
having
Welsh
it large.
Accents. Having it large. Listen to that Welsh accent. Now, is it true you've had a wine or two?
I've had two glasses of jam shed, and now I'm having a swift little rum just to calm the nerve.
A swift little rum.
We don't let him pilot the ship tonight.
No. What an absolute unit. All right, and now up next, another day one-er, supporter of the show, legend, brings the spice. You know her. You love her. It's Katie Stubbs. Katie!
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show, Katie. Are you ready to get down on that Clone Wars spice?
I'm all about that Star Wars bounce. Let's go.
All right, okay. There we go. She's roaring to go. She's loving it.
She's doing a castle run in less than 12 parsecs.
Yeah. She's heading to those Blyce mines.
She's rounding down.
Katie, and maybe it'd be like, I'd do it in less than 10, but I don't want to put that out there.
No, that's it. That is it. She's like, yeah, I'd do it in 6 seconds, mate.
Oh, I am the Kessel run.
And then now our next person's going to bowl it in, and he's going to slap us all silly, because he's going to come in and he's going to say he can do the Kessel run in 4 seconds. It's Martin Mead.
Hello there.
Local boy. So we got another Essex boy on the podcast, on the round table, legend, Martin Mead. Whereabouts in Essex are you from again, Martin?
I'm near Maldon.
Very nice part of Essex.
Near Maldon. Oh, man, I love Maldon. That is so nice. Maldon, that is so good.
So good.
It's good. I'm very lucky.
It's so good in the summer. There's a pub in Maldon. I can't remember what it's called, like in the promenade. I always go there to get a pint. It's a long way from Brentwood, so it makes it all worth it. But so we've got a local boy, huh? The Hertfordshire legend and the King of Wales on tonight, and obviously that golden hair of Luke. So it's not a bad roundtable, is it, mate?
Nah, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. And this topic we're covering is a very good one. It is a very good one. We've already mentioned it. It is the Clone Wars Season 7. Now, Matty boy, I don't think it's unreasonable to say this has probably been one of the most anticipated animated seasons of all time. Obviously, we know there was a massive gap between season 6 and season 7. Mm. When Disney bought Lucasfilm, they halted production on Clone Wars and they moved to Rebels. Now they've come back and they're tying it all together. So we are dividing this into three sections, aren't we, Matty Boy?
We are indeed. We're going to divide it into the arcs that we saw in season seven. And at the end, we're going to then kind of have a little discussion. What do we think about the season overall and comparatively with the series. The return, you know, for some people, this is a huge deal. So, you know, what could that mean for them? But yeah, this was a big old thing. This was when it was re-announced, because we had the hashtag bring back the Clone Wars or save the Clone Wars movement, which was going on for years. And then Lucasfilm and Filoni dropped the bomb. Hashtag Clone Wars saved, the trooper helmet, bosh, the world is done. I think when this was first announced, I think me and Lukey Boy weren't as excited as the rest of the world, I think, if I remember from our shows. We were still up for it, but we were more Rebels boys. But since re-watching the Clone Wars for our Patreon shows, I've sort of been diving in more. I was like, actually, this Clone Wars thing's actually quite good, isn't it? And I got more and more pumped for it. And obviously, when the marketing was coming out, the trailers, I really started to dig it. So as I say, we're gonna make it up into arcs now. So the first arc we are discussing was the Bad Batch arc, the 41st arc of the entire series. And I know Luke Bligh can easily name off the other 40, but we haven't got time for that today. The Bad Batch was part of the animatics that are on StarWars.com. I think like 2015 they dropped. So the Bad Batch arc, the arc that was going to lead us off after years in the wilderness. Lukey Boy, Luke Summerfield, King of Wales. You've seen this. What did you think of it?
Well, how cool are those Bad Batch?
Clone Wars. Ace.
Very cool.
Some might say they're so good.
So good.
Each with their own abilities, like the Ninja Turtles.
That's true. That is true. They're jumping around all over the place. And that's the point, is that we've never seen clone troopers quite that, have we?
They've all got mutations and different abilities.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a scientist one. Big up the scientist.
We got Hunter.
He was like Rambo, wasn't he?
Yeah, with the skull on his mask. And then we got Wrecker, who's like the Hulk. Crosshair, the sniper. And then Tech, who's a bit like Donatello from the Ninja Turtles.
They weren't subtle in choosing their names, were Tech. They?
No, I mean, Tech, it's like, oh, I wonder what he's going to be.
Crosshair. Wrecker.
Which is weird. That's such a Star Wars thing, isn't it? Because there are some like proper normal stuff. They're like, we'll name that the craziest thing in the world. And then like other things, it's like, yeah, that's just what it is. You know, vac tube. Yeah,
and the most right, obvious. Yeah. It gives you
those vibes of World War II, though, don't they? The Kelly's Heroes or the Dirty Dozen.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, the ones that do the stuff behind the scene and not much recognition for them.
Yeah. I mean, you don't... Or you can just look at some of them and know what they're capable of and what they're going to do. I mean, you look at Wrecker, you know he's just going to lift a lot of stuff or whatever, like they'll bash through some walls. But I mean, like, if you didn't know that, at least the name's there to clarify.
Yeah, and Hunter looks like Rambo, who was a hunter and a very good warrior. He was he could detect waves in the ground. But yeah, I didn't mind the actual art they were called the Clone Force 99, weren't they? After 99.
Yeah.
Good old 99.
Gives you feels straight away because you think of 99 straight away.
I remember
away.
That scene when he passed away. I was like, oh, not you, 99. Not Clone you, 99.
No.
Clone Force.
Yes, that's it. Space Force.
It's a little naff, I'll level with you. That's my 2 pence anyway. But honestly, I think one of the things for me was the intro of this arc. You got a bunch of clones, you got a bunch of droids. They're battling on this like bridge. And again, like Luke Summerfield said, Lukey Boy said, massive World War II vibes. Like that reminds me of a few old World War II films, you know, just like having a battle, one side on one side of the bridge, the other side on the other side of the bridge, battling out. There's kind of a little bit of a stalemate. I thought that was sick. Martin, how did you feel about the introduction to that arc of the Clone Wars?
I thought it was really good. And the first thing that stood out for me was the team ethics and the graphics behind it as well. I was blown away. I just couldn't get over it.
Yeah, you could definitely... Yeah, it was stunning. You could definitely tell the jump in quality. I mean, every season of Clone Wars, it keeps getting better and better. Yeah. I mean, I know our boy Isaac, Pevy... He's not seen Clone Wars. I think he tried watching season one and he couldn't get past it. He was like, nah, mate, this ain't for me. And I was talking to him like a few weeks ago, and I think he'd seen it on Twitter anyway, about watching the last season. You know, do you need to have much context of the rest of the series to watch it? I don't think you do.
No, I don't think you do. I would say, personally, I don't think you do.
No,
as long as you've seen Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones, you'd be all right.
I think some background helps with little moments, like Clone Force 99. That's quite a nice little callback. Rex, Admiral Trench, who's obviously like the villain who's come back for this. The little moments, Fives and Echo, when they mention Fives, you know, we're going to find out more about him.
Yes, Fives.
And Echo, when they go to find him. I mean, if you hadn't seen any of that from the other seasons, you will be like, who the hell is this guy? But I guess, yeah, you could just go in fairly blind, or you could do a quick like YouTube for the seasons 1 to 6 recap, and someone could probably fill you in.
Or see like big moments or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously with Clone Wars, it's obviously I love it, but there is still filler in there. It's not needed, but obviously we still enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, Clone Wars has a lot of highs, phenomenal highs, but it has lows.
Can I just say as well, it is definitely not a kids' show.
Mm-mm. Certainly, it's later on.
Yeah, I'd agree. That's what Star Wars does, though. It grows, like certain things grow with its audience, just like the prequels did. You know, Phantom Menace has a lot of different tones to Revenge of the Sith, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know? I know it's slightly unrelated, but it always reminds me of Jim Henson. And the Dark Crystal, right? He made these like puppets and stuff and a story that was scary and, you know, a little bit sad and frightening to a little kiddie. But he firmly believed, you know, kids should be scared in a healthy way. Yeah. You know, they should see and experience, you know, sadness and tragedy. And that is something that we shouldn't just hide and, you know, make them blind to that, because that's not how real life works. Yeah. And I think actually Clone Wars, especially as Matty Boy kind of pointed out, as it goes on, it definitely has that. You know, you lose characters you love.
I was going to say, no, Clone Wars is pretty good, I think, because obviously people say Star Wars is good for teaching, obviously, everybody, but I feel like kids' lessons and hope and all that type of stuff. And obviously the best things about Clone Wars is obviously you get that beginning with, like, and they always have the quote or whatever that's pretty, you know, I feel like those quotes in themselves are like little lessons kids could actually take to heart.
Yeah, I agree
with that. Yes, they're a bit like life lessons.
Yeah, it's like a fortune cookie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just not as tasty. Yeah,
exactly. And now here's one thing, right? And I don't know if it's just me. I haven't done a direct comparison. I'm just going off memory here. This is how it happens, guys, on the podcast. Obi-Wan Kenobi in this season looks hella different, doesn't he? And I'm focusing on details like that, but his eyes are so different.
I mean, they all kind of look more like, well, the ones obviously that are in Revenge of the Sith, so Anakin, Obi-Wan, they all kind of look more like their Revenge of the Sith counterparts. Like Anakin's obviously hair's longer and Obi-Wan, I feel like I can see parts of it. I could definitely agree with you that they look a lot better, and they look a lot better because of the animation quality, obviously, but they do look different.
Yes, for sure. And I think they're trying to tie that in. But even like it had a bit more of like a Rebels look to it, where the eyes were just a smidge smaller. The eyes were slightly smaller. The details were more pronounced and stuff.
Yeah, I think make them more lifelike, I think.
Yes, which was a great, great shout for this season.
The animation in this was just awesome because, I mean, people love the Rebels animation and people like the Resistance animation, but this is the kind of animation, and I know we're kind of diverging a bit from the Bad Batch, but this kind of animation is exactly what I'd want going forward. If they're going to do another animated series, make it look as good as this. I mean, they only did 12 episodes. Is that for budgetary reasons or is that just to, you know, like a gesture, we're going to keep the Clone Wars going, but here's 12 episodes. But these four episodes, this is what, one third of the final episodes of the Clone Wars. As a starting four, we had some big moments, like obviously meeting the Bad Batch. Echo is alive. Anakin has his Skype call with Padme. We see she's pregnant. Rex knows all about it.
Yeah, she covers her bum.
That's it. Kenobi knows about it. And then obviously Anakin finishes Trench off. So we get some conclusion. But for these first four episodes, do you reckon, knowing that this is it now, we've only got 12 episodes, do you think this is a good start for the final season? We're only getting 12 episodes.
I think it was pretty much a literal banger, literal banger.
Yeah,
you know, literal banger. It's coming in and banging up everything. You know, it was just great. And Neville was my favourite types of, like, I loved obviously the last arc, which we'll get to, but I feel like I would then take the Bad Batch arc as probably my second favourite arc, because I'm all about the clones, and it's really the Clone Wars that made me, and obviously a lot of other people, fall in love with the clones and makes me want to see actual stories of, like, you know, can we see what, like, the Bad Batch have been up to between, obviously, Season 6 and Season 7 of the Clone Wars? Like, can we see what they've been up to? Like, that's how much I love, like, watching just the clones. Because, and it's a big credit to Dee Bradley Baker for giving them all their, obviously, their individual personalities. Because he obviously voiced all of them, even every member of the Bad Batch, and he could put on, like, a insanely different voice for each of them, which is insane.
Yeah. What about you, Lukey boy?
Yes. Which, hang on, we need to come up with a rule.
It's Lukey boy, or aka Beefcake, and it's King of Wales, the Welsh Beefcake. Lukey, King of Wales, what are you thinking, mate?
Well, it plays into Revenge of the Sith as well, that when Anakin finally sees Padme, you know he's been away in that battle in the Outer Sieges for a long time.
Good shout.
And you see the conversation between him and Mace, and they're trying to get it ended there and then, because it's gone on for such a long time. So when you finally sit down for Revenge of the Sith, you realise how long Anakin's been away from Padme.
That is a good shout.
I don't know where he's been.
I never even gave that a thought.
No, I hadn't thought about it.
I'll level with you. That is a sick point, Lukey boy.
Because we know he's been gone for a long time.
There you go, I can say it. That's a classic point. Now, guys, I hope, don't take me as a complete negative Nelly, but Flaming Eck, what's with the flying droids?
Oh,
yeah. They fly what? Now.
I can hear Martin. They fly now? Dusted. Can you hear him?
They fly now.
They fly now.
They reminded me of naked animatronics from Jurassic Park, like dinosaurs without the flesh on top. they were bizarre.
They didn't look right, did they? They didn't. Mm. It just seemed, it seemed like it was a bit of a stretch. Like, it would be the sort of thing that I could see, like, on a desk somewhere, on a concept artist's desk, and it's for Star Wars, and there's, and it's like a droid in the background, maybe just like one of them, but an army of them. You'd think, hang on, why aren't these guys being used left, right, and center? Yeah, well, that's
they
pretty
just
handy.
To fight those, what were they called?
Flying Pterodactyls. The native.
I can't think. I wrote it down somewhere. Those, I can't find it.
Yeah, Matty Boy. I think Matty Boy mentioned
it. Was
it
the Pterodactyls?
Yes, that's it. Boom.
It's the name of the third episode. Yeah, no, I think they were. They could have probably done with a few more of those. Flying droids, I mean, it's nothing's as bad as the, I don't know what you guys think, but none of Lukey Bly will agree, but the Sabercopters,
no.
That kind of drops everything.
No. Oh, get triggered at the sound of them.
Okay, that's handy then.
Don't get me started. This is sounding like vintage sessions right now, me complaining about the Sabercopters. I forgot about those.
Oh, mate, I won't let you forget
those. They're
canon. Exactly.
They just cannon. Needs to keep things on the ground. And then we love
yeah. You watch. Yeah. You watch. Well, next, in the next Fallen Order, that's going to be one of the abilities you can tool upgrade. Just like, hey, you need to get to that cliff over there? No
Dirty
problem.
Saber.
That's it. Right. So for the Bad Batch, what were you thinking then? In terms of Martin, my friend, in terms of like the best, what do you remember most from the Bad Batch? So the four arc, what's your kind of like outstanding memory of it? Before we kind of talk about any more arcs, and then we'll go on to obviously Lukey and Katie. But Martin, if you think the Bad Batch arc, what's coming to mind?
Coming to mind straight away is our boy Echo.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Haunted looking Echo.
Finding Echo.
Mm. That's true. That was heartbreaking in a little bit, wasn't it? Especially if you've been brought up with the Clone Wars. That was like, it's for me, that was like the realization of, yeah, we're getting real close to when these guys are pretty much going to be redundant and when these guys are going to be turning on the Jedi.
Yeah, I just have a thought now. I wonder what happens to Echo after Order 66.
Well, did the Bad Batch participate in Order 66? That's the question everyone's asking. So you do not want to be around when Wrecker suddenly turns on you. I imagine they did. But then again, would they? Because they're malfunctioning. That's right. They're malprogrammed or whatever they want to be called. So maybe they didn't have the thing in it. But would Echo have the chip in his head?
I don't know what he could have done. He could have gone...
Because the Separatists could have found it and taken it out or not realised what it was.
Well, this is it. All the whatever that stuff he was connected to may have negated it or something, but that is an interesting point. Katie, you were going to jump on that, were you?
I was going to just... I had a recent conversation with someone on Twitter about that. Like, you know, someone asking that question, I wonder what became of them when Order 66 went down. And I actually possibly think they didn't participate in it because they were already, in quotes, defects anyway. Yeah. So I would imagine their chip would have been possibly also, like, defected, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. And that would... Again, that could answer a question. Why else would they have these superhuman strengths? But could it be that the inhibitor chip caused something in them to malfunction, hence why they were kind of like, you know, thrown to one side? But yeah, seeing Echo back again after assuming he died in the Citadel arc, that was a big deal. And again, that's something that Star Wars does quite well is they did it with, Luminara in Rebels, if you know what I mean, bringing back characters and using them for manipulative ways. But yeah, that was. It wasn't nice to see, but he did get his ending with the Bad Batch, though. I would have liked to have seen Echo with more of the actual clones, so that bit felt a bit more emotional to me. But Katie, Bad Batch, number one moments for you, or some of the best moments?
I want to say just mainly I loved all of it, because as I said, it was probably one of my top favourite arcs, obviously minus the last arc, which is, I think, the best mainly for everybody. But just the intro of them. You know, how they actually all come off the ship and there's the music from Kevin Kiner in the background and they've, you know, they're all coming off in their own way and then you got the end, like, boom, boom, Wrecker's off the ship. The cavalry has arrived. Like, that's just great. It's great. I loved it so much. And, you know, then when you got into the combat side of things, you could see individually there was a really awesome scene of just seeing what each of them can do. Mm. Like, obviously, Wrecker's wrecking stuff, you know, the... Crosshairs sniping stuff, and then you got Tech doing sneaking on the side, teching stuff, yeah. and then Hunter going all Rambo, and it was just a great way to show off, obviously, what they can all individually do. And I will just say, Wrecker was probably my favourite out of the group because he lifted a ship essentially. He could lift the ship, which is insane.
Yeah, he saved Cody.
That's it. And because Cody was really damaged, wasn't he? Or injured in the crash. And we all know what happened to Commander Cody in Revenge of the Sith. Ooh. Firing on Kenobes.
And I did personally say, I enjoyed the story of, like, obviously at the beginning, they're like, what did they call the normal clones?
Regs.
They call them like Regs. So it's almost like a school thing going on, like, maybe like a little bit like of a bully, like bullying the normal other kids or whatever. But then that jerk.
Why they didn't like the Regs? Because it just. I know it's just a fun story point, but did they ever say we don't like the normal clones because?
I reckon it's because they get to follow their own rules essentially. They don't have really a commander like the Jedi, really. Like, you know, obviously Obi-Wan commands Cody, Anakin commands Anakin. Anakin commands Rex, is what I meant, sorry.
I was going to say they probably prefer doing things their own way and getting the missions done themselves.
Yeah, they don't look like
they're the indie kids. They're the emo
hipsters,
kids.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and the Regs, that's where you just go and get your sausage rolls.
Oh, dear. Well, I wish I had the Badam lined up here. I haven't got him.
That's like straight from the Star Wars joke book, the NASA.
Dude, we should have ended a set round table off. We've given these lads one each. But King of Wales... What are your kind of like overarching thoughts about the Bad Batch and your favourite kind of moment?
Well, I love the Bad Batch, but my favourite moment was when Anakin finally confronts and defeats Trench.
Yes.
And Trench is expecting to be taken as a prisoner, and then you see that little dark side of Anakin again, and Anakin just stabs him right through the heart. And then Trench just curls up like a little spider, and then...
You hear Palpatine's theme as well, a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like the ending of... I like the fact that they actually got rid of Trench finally, because he did seem unkillable, because the fact that we thought he killed him originally, then they mentioned it. Didn't he die in like a battle over Malastare? And now he's back again. It's nice to see, you know, Anakin behind closed doors just taking care of business, which is like how we know he's going to be in a few more weeks' time. I think my favourite part was... the bit on the bridge with where Obi-Wan Kenobi is struggling to overpower the droids. Anakin walks in. He's like, I've just won my battle. I thought I'd come and help you out. Swaggers onto the battlefield like Luke does. And basically just, you know, dodges blaster bolts like Han Solo in the special editions. and takes out a tactical droid. The clones come from under the bridge on their jetpacks, Luke, and they just storm them and win. And I thought, you know, that's got pure fun Clone Wars, that is. And it also set up the kind of banter slash relationship with Kenobi and Anakin. So as for the Bad Batch arc, I thought it was decent. My only bugbear was a lot of people already seen it on StarWars.com. So it did feel like a bit of a rehash of something we'd already been given for the first arc of the season. But I liked it. But what about you, Lukey boy, Lukey Bly boy?
Yeah, I thought it was a great introduction, to be honest. It set a lot of tones for the Clone Wars. It felt like Clone Wars because obviously there's always that thing in your mind that, well, this is post-Disney takeover. So, you know, it could feel different. It could look different, but it turns out it looked different in a better way. Mm. It was an improvement. And in terms of storytelling and feeling, it felt like we were back in the Clone Wars again. And, you know, like you've already mentioned, Matty boy, I'm more of a Rebels fan. I still am, to be honest. But wow, man, this was a solid start. It was a solid start. And, you know, it got me really hyped for, because what episode was it when it kind of caught up with the US and we were getting the same episodes as the US? Was it by the fourth?
Was it Mandalore? I think it's the start of the Siege of Mandalore.
Yeah, it's the final siege.
Because we got a couple of episodes each week, or and then it went to one episode.
We got two a week,
and we finally caught up on the final arc. But I had a good time.
All right, then. Well, ignore that then. Well,
never
there we go.
Anything you say, mate. No, none of us would. I reckon it could have been three episodes like this, to be honest.
I'll level with you. Yeah, I think that is a Clone Wars thing, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a little bit. And do you know what? We'll get to that very soon.
Let's do it, mate.
Because we're now on to Arc 2, which was called the Martez Arc.
The Ahsoka's Journey, I think they officially called it now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ahsoka's Journey. Oh.
Journey.
Okay. How many episodes was this? Four.
Four again, mate.
Three too many. Yeah, I one of the things I love about Clone Wars, and I think Star Wars needs to do a bit more of in the future, is going to Coruscant and going to these like rough Blade Runner-esque cityscapes where it's grotty, where there's a lot of people, where there's, you know, neon signs and rubbish on the floor and stuff. You know, I really like that. I really like that. And that's actually, I just watched Attack of the Clones the other day. I think when they're in Coruscant in Attack of the Clones, like down in the streets, I think that's sick. I think it's sweet.
In the nightclubs and stuff.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's a very interesting part of Star Wars. So that perspective, really, I was really attracted to, and I really enjoyed. And it was reminiscent of earlier Clone Wars arcs, you know, where Ahsoka is on Coruscant, where the guys are on Coruscant. So, you know, I enjoyed that. I thought it just felt a bit like a detour, though. Now, the funny thing is I'm pretty sure Ashley Eckstein on Twitter was saying, you know, you need to see this arc. And I think she was implying it more than anything. But I got the feeling she was kind of saying, you need to see this arc to understand the rest of the season, to see how Ahsoka has grown.
Yeah.
And I'll level with you guys. You know, I didn't get that vibe. I go on. Someone take it from me. Who's that? Is that?
I mean, yeah, I will say, you get little tiny moments of character development in there from Ahsoka, like little bit, but for the life of me, I can't call on those moments exactly. And I feel like that's how it is with this entire arc. Like, it wasn't badly written or anything like that. It was still enjoyable, but I reckon if you took away this arc and just had the Bad Batch, Siege of Mandalore, like Order 66 stuff, would this season have been any different? Not really. I mean, we had two characters introduced, the Martez sisters, which I guess now that they're two characters for the future if they want to bring them in somewhere. But that's probably about it, really, for me. Some good animation and all that, But yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's still enjoyable to watch, but yeah, forgettable. Forgettable is a word.
Go on, Martin.
I'm going to throw my two pence in and am going to be different from everyone else.
Go for it. This is what we love.
Naughty boy.
Come on, Mark. Gloves are off. Say,
you know what? I've saw a lot of disagreement regarding the arc on the internet and from other people and stuff. But personally, for me, it wasn't a hardship to watch because I loved Solo and I dig that film. I watch it. Family love it. That wasn't hard to watch either. So in this arc, there was a lot of nods to that Kessel and seeing all the planet there and stuff and the traveling about and the spice, the dumping of the spice as well is a bit Han Solo like.
Mm-hmm. And the pikes, we also saw more of the pikes.
Yeah,
I think it's a hard one because I like Solo. I like Solo. And I think this comes to the fact that with Solo, I can put it on and I can watch it and I remember it. I'll level with you guys. I've seen this arc once. I've seen this series actually just once. I've not rewatched it yet. And this is what I can tell you about four episodes. Ahsoka turns up. They're these sisters. They get into prison. There are pikes. They get into prison. There are pikes. They get into prison. They get out of prison. There are more pikes.
Prison break.
And
that's it.
And yeah. Yes. Katie, did you say prison break?
I said prison break.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Prison break. Just on a little side rant. Prison break. Season one. Genius.
Season one.
Season
incredible.
Two. Season two, okay, yeah, see where this is going. Season three is back in prison.
They're you're back having in a prison. Laugh.
season four, it's going all kinds of crazy.
Season five.
They're killing off people. Oh, no, they're not. They're back. Like,
and then
no,
they bring back the show about 3-4 years later.
And he's back in prison back again. And he escapes in the first 20 seconds. But
I can't deal with it.
Lucky Boy Summerfield, what did you think about it? So Martin was a fan of it. Katie, not so much. Luke Bly, not so much. King of Wales, what side are you falling on? Well,
I was a fan of the few moments where, because you couldn't just go from Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order and then she just turns up the Siege of Mandalore and, you know, use your lightsaber, go on, crack on.
Did that connectivity.
She learns a lot about what it was to be a true Jedi in that arc. It was a bit long, but she learns that the devastating sides of the Jedi fighting in Coruscant against Cad Bane. And she learns how to fight without sabers.
Because
have you noticed her outfit as well? She's got like that 70s kung fu look and she does a lot of martial arts.
Yes, and you're right on that point because the Martez sisters do say, you know, it was a Jedi who had a hand that basically killed our parents. And one of the, and when they did, the Jedi was basically like, sorry about the mess. Like Han Solo, you know, flip them a coin, clean up, sorry. And they kind of say it may have been Luminara Unduli. Who at the time were like, yeah, because she's got like green skin, and they basically say it was her, and it was a nice callback to the Cad Bane series, but episodes. But I thought they were fine. I thought it was okay. I don't agree with the stuff you get online about the Martez sisters. Oh, look at their hair. Look at the way they speak. I mean, one of them did have a slightly not annoying accent, but that's coming from an Englishman. But I don't agree with the hoopla that, you know, they were, this is all this diversity rubbish. They're just characters in a story. Get over it.
It's just characters in a story.
It's
exactly.
I didn't mind the arcs. I do, the series season, sorry, season, the arc. I think they could have, at least taken away Dangerous Debt, which was the third episode. Even though that's the one where you do find out about the Martez sisters not liking the Jedi, and of course that then Ahsoka finds out more about how the Jedi are viewed. But that is the one, as LB, Lucky Bly says, they go to prison, they escape, they get imprisoned again. And it is like, that is kind of my overriding thoughts of this arc, is that... go for it, Katie.
Go on, add to it.
I will say, because I'm going to lie, there was one specific scene in this arc, and it actually... I think it is probably one of the most I said it was forgetful, but I'm taking that back because there's one moment now that's come to mind that is probably the most memorable of this entire season. And I can't, it's when they're leaving Coruscant and they pass a Star Destroyer that Anakin's on.
Yep.
And Anakin can sense Ahsoka. And it made me think of Return of the Jedi when Luke's going to Endor and he senses him. And it was almost the same thing. I think Yularen was on the ship, mm-hmm. and he says, "Shall I hold them for inspection?" Which is exactly what, is it Piet said to Vader about Luke?
Yeah,
and he went, "No, carry on, let them carry on." And that's what he said about Sokka.
Proper Vader,
so,
isn't it?
So that actually resonated with me. It's very poetic, and I think, I don't know if that was intentional. I would say it was intentional.
It all rhymes.
No, that is a beautiful bit. That is a beautiful bit, but and actually you're right, because I'll be honest, I'll level with you, I forgot about that bit. But
I forgot about it just now. I was like,
yeah, but that's why this sort of conversation is good, because that's a phenomenal moment. It is just the rest of it for me just feels forgettable. Yeah, you got me saying it now, Katie.
come on, Mickey boy.
Yeah.
So you were wrong with it.
Was this arc supposed to tie in, though, with the cancelled game, 1313?
That's a good point. There's no reason why it wouldn't have done. I mean, obviously, I do feel it was there to kind of, because when you've got people like Bo-Katan and Ursa Wren just start turning up in a hood on whichever planet, that felt to me a bit like, nah, just like pushing them in there. But if there was going to be a 1313 game or TV series, which was being written around the same time the Clone Wars was, then, you know, this could have maybe this was one of the, this could have been an unused script from like the 100 they had. Who knows? Martin, you like, yeah. I'm really interested, because we're sitting here saying that it wasn't our favourite arc, and I know whether you're saying that it's yours or not. I want to know, you know, what is it about this arc? Because we're saying it's okay. I want to know what to you makes this like makes this pretty literally
so good.
Okay, so yeah, for me this arc was pivotal, because we get to see Ahsoka reach the level of maturity that she has in the Siege of Mandalore.
And what about the what did you think? And again, I don't agree with it, but the Martyr sisters as characters, I think they were fine for what they needed to be. I'm not sure we'll see them again, not for any negative reason, but I think they've served their purpose. What did you think about those gals?
I agree. I think as characters in a story, they, as you said, they served their point. They're part of the plot device. I also liked how their story tied into the previous Clone Wars episodes, i.e. mentioning their mum or their parents, and the Jedi accidentally killing them and then just walking off.
Yep, just flipping that coin. Okay, same question for you then, mate. When you think of this arc, because you're the one who's enjoying this more than the rest, though I didn't mind it, what's the one or two things that really stand out? And you mentioned obviously Ahsoka gaining her maturity, but in terms of like a scene or a moment, because it may be hard to top that one that Katie mentioned, though.
When they reached, the sisters and Ahsoka reached Kessel, I just love that. Keeping in the lore and the history of Star Wars. We know that planet. We've been there, we've seen it in Rebels and obviously in Solo. And you know what's going to happen from there, the Kessel Run. So, yeah, I liked that as well.
Yeah,
fair enough. I'd agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree with
that.
About
Kessel Run, even though it's part of the set there, yeah.
That's a solid point. And I love when Star Wars comes together like that. And that is one of the great things about having someone like Dave Filoni and so many people who are obviously very passionate about the project involved, because you're always going to have those sort of links. Is it now just Lukey boy, Lukey Summerfield's opinion left? Is that right?
Yeah, mate. What are you thinking, Lukey boy? Like major moments and that from the arc?
What I want to know is, Ahsoka reckons she learned things in the Skywalker Academy, and is that a legitimate thing, or did she just make it up on the spot?
Ooh, I think she made it up on the spot.
Ah. Because I remember George Lucas saying that Skywalker was supposed to be a pretty common name in the galaxy, and yet we've only known Luke, one family. And Anakin, and that's about it.
Yeah,
Luke and a Ray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ray Palpatine.
But
Now, yeah, I if I could remember, I kind of thought it was just her way of being like, I just learnt stuff at this place called Sky. I'm not a Jedi. I just learnt stuff at this academy called Skywalker. It's like a boxing gym. I just learnt stuff there. Do you know what I mean? But
she totally blagged it.
Yeah, she's a proper blagger. Ahsoka's gone from being a Jedi to a blagger. So we've got the going back to Kessel. Anakin and Ahsoka sort of sensing each other. I'm not sure. I can't think of any major moments that I liked from this arc, and I don't mean that in a absolutely hated this arc. I'm just trying to think what I really like. I guess maybe the best part for me was that moment I mentioned, which was when the Martis sisters mentioned the Jedi were responsible for the parents' death, and it was Ahsoka then realizing, actually, is this what the galaxy, even though it's like two people, are thinking about the Jedi and the Republic? Maybe the Jedi and the Republic have a self-inflated view of themselves, and actually everyone thinks they're a bit, you know, they're almost like terrorists, or they're the bad guys as well. So I guess that was one of my favourite parts. But Lukey Bly, I know you love this arc, so what was your outstanding moment?
Probably the prison break, to be honest, mate.
Which one? Three,
that
four?
Was pretty filthy. Number eight. I liked, this is going to sound a bit cheesy, I just really enjoyed seeing Ahsoka back on screen. She's developed, she's grown a little bit. Her just like...
First time we saw her this season, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it was. And that just felt really good. It's just, you know, I remember by the third episode, I was sitting there thinking, really, we got another episode of this? I was like scrolling on my phone. Like sometimes I've got a super short attention span, right? So like, if it really doesn't like draw me in, it may. I'm not whipping out the Instagram, looking at stuff, and I just found myself, you know, not absolutely loving this episode. There were moments to die for in it, like Katie said, the scenes that mirror Vader. You know, that's gorgeous. That is absolutely brilliant.
What about Maul when he comes in a hologram and he mentions Crimson Dawn?
Yeah. I liked the mention of Crimson Dawn mention. That was sick.
I always keep connecting that to the next arc, but I forget it was in the last episode of that
me
arc.
Me too.
I've just remembered it, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think that's what's the problem here, is because I did kind of know, you can't help but feel that, you know, this is the last season. This is the last season, and I know what's next. As a Star Wars fan, I know what's next, yeah? And I know there's only one arc left. So listen, this arc I might have had a better vibe with it if it was a different season. Or if it was halfway during, you know, the last season, whatever.
Lost missions, yeah.
Episode six. Is that everybody thinking that? Or do you guys all think that it could have been replaced with another arc maybe? Or was it vital?
Could you have actually swapped it with the Bad Batch arc? Would that have made sense?
So have this
have
as
that,
the opening
to have that
arc?
First?
Maybe.
I know it's not as good as the Bad Batch, but I feel, and it's not obviously something that, you know, which it brings a new season in, as I said, you know, the Bad Batch was a banger and all that. But I just feel maybe if you wanted to start off with, I guess, the less, like, what's the word? You know, like, less, I don't want to say not as exciting, but...
I hear you. I think it's because of the Ahsoka stuff. They wanted that to kind of like stream well. It just, for me, it just felt like it was, four episodes was crazy. I don't think it warranted four episodes. The story that was actually told here, it could have been done in two. It could have been done in two. So that's my only grudge with it. Other than that, it leads in to some of the best of Star Wars for evs.
I can't really argue with that. So number three, discussion point, arc, Mandalore, siege of, just like Luke was saying. We were waiting for this one. We knew the Bad Batch was coming. We'd already seen that before. The Ahsoka's journey had mixed results. Some people liked it, as Martin did. Others weren't so hot on it, as some of us weren't. But that's the beauty of Star Wars. There's always something for everybody. But we knew what was coming, the Siege of Mandalore. This had been mentioned for a long time in the Ahsoka arc, novel jumped on it. And it's just something in fandom circles, the Siege of Mandalore. What's it all about? So this was the final four arcs, not just of season seven, but of the entirety of the Clone Wars, all 120 plus episodes. We knew we were now in Revenge of the Sith territory. We were there. We knew what certain moments and events were going to happen in this, and they did happen. And everyone was kind of primed for this to be like jaw-dropping blockbuster TV, basically. And obviously when they opened up with that green Lucasfilm limited production, this is proper now. So Martin, my friend, local boy, huh? Let's chuck it to you. The Siege of Mandalore. What did you think of the arc overall to start with?
Oh, what did I think? I loved it. There's just no questioning that.
And when you liked the Ahsoka's journey, did you think that tied in well enough to get you excited for the Siege of Mandalore?
Yeah, because now you know where she is. You know where she's at mentally, because you think for the longest time she was in the Order. She knew how everything worked. She thought she had life tapped down, and then she leaves and it's all in disarray. She doesn't know what's up, what way's up, what way's down. So now she's back in her vibe. She's got everything ready and she knows what she's doing. Anakin and Obi-Wan back. You could tell Anakin was hoping that he'd get everything back to normal and get her back in the Order. But you can also see Ahsoka questioning everything and maybe Anakin's actions and motives as well.
Yeah, you could see she'd grown.
And when also she questioned Obi-Wan, you're not going to Coruscant to save Coruscant, you're going there to save the Chancellor.
Mm. Oh!
Hang on, people. Let me get my stupid...
Execution. You could say Ahsoka was the bottle opener and Obi-Wan was the cap.
Yeah. That's so true. I hate to interrupt you there, Martin, but yeah, that was such a good point. But yeah, go on, mate. Carry on.
And then we've got Mandalorians versus Clone Troopers. Oh, now... my loyalties were lost. I was, am I rooting for them or am I rooting for them? I just don't know where to go, what to do.
Yeah, it's because you know what's coming. You know the clones will eventually turn on the Mandos and then they've already taken over the planet. After all,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, man, there was that, and that's just like the opening of this arc. I mean, I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this. So, King of Wales, Siege of Mandalore, We know you're excited. The King of Wales gets excited for many things, but what were you thinking leading into it in these first few episodes? The first two episodes, you know, were you digging those?
Yeah, for starters, the music just kept you on your toes and in suspense for the whole four episodes. Mm. And then when you see that it looks like Ahsoka's not going to get any help, and then all the generals are saluting her, and then she goes into the room, and then half of the 501st have painted themselves orange like her. I was a bit. I was in torment. Yeah. It was stunning. And
That was the first time I think I did cry this season.
Yeah,
so.
It was
oh wow.
Absolutely beautiful.
Oh. Katie, just quickly, because I know I'm worried, you know, you don't want to give away too many personal details on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Did you go see the prequels in cinemas?
I did not.
First time
I saw them was like on DVD and all that. My first Star Wars film I saw in cinema, if you don't count The Clone Wars, because that was it. But it was The Force Awakens.
Wow. Okay.
And I really hate that fact, because I'm like, I wish I could have seen it in the cinema.
It's not a bad one
that's,
to start with.
That's, yeah, exactly. I was going to say that's not at all a bad one to start with. I mean, what an experience to start with. I've a very good friend of mine, Levi, he's the exact same. So he didn't see any of the prequels in the cinemas. And it feels weird to me. That feels weird. But he always says, you know, his Star Wars is the Clone Wars. And he's seen the latest season of Clone Wars, and he was impressed up until the Siege of Mandalore, but I think at Siege of Mandalore, he was like, wow, wow, this is incredible. Because once again, I don't think any of us can quite understand the feeling that you have. And, you know, we love it, we enjoy it, but this is very special to, you know, you and I use this term loosely, your generation. Mm-hmm. There's not crazy years between all of us, but you know that is a fact, that this has a lot of emotional weight. And it's interesting for you to say, you know, you saw the clones of the Ahsoka painting on their face and stuff, and that's emotional for you, you know. And this is a character that at the beginning in 2009, people were going crazy about the prequels.
They didn't like her.
Anyway, but people went mental.
And whiny. It's crazy.
There we go. And now look. That's the point I just wanted to make. I'm terribly sorry for interrupting, but there we go. Just thought I'd make that point.
That moment with the clones painted like Ahsoka, I'm gonna drop the ball here. I wasn't bothered by that part in whatsoever. I'm really, but because I don't mean to sound like that guy, and I'm going to mention it again later on. But for me, putting my tin hat on, and I feel like we're going to get some comments here. But I just felt like that was Filoni pandering to me. And looking back, the audience grows with the show, and people like Levi and KT and many others out there. You know, this would have been like seeing Ahsoka go from day one to now, and obviously with Rebels and everything else. You know, this would have been like wow for the character, but I wasn't overly bothered by this. I just thought, okay. Also, they showed it in the trailer as well, which kind of took away. So, had it not been in the trailer, I think I would have dug it more. But because it was in that trailer, I was just a bit like, But I did like the fact that the way that she grew, the way that she's arguing back with Kenobi and Anakin, and she's like, we've got no time for this. We need to get this going now. And that was just in the first episode. And then we get to the Phantom Apprentice, which I think the Phantom Apprentice was the best one of the lot, I think.
But with Ahsoka, we've actually had a full arc from a really young Padawan into a full-blown Jedi Master.
By the time of this, she left the Order, wasn't training, and got brought back in, and they had time. And then they pay. And then by the time of Rebels, it's like Ahsoka the White, even, and then she'd been lost in space and time, which still bugs me. I can't stand that. But the Phantom Apprentice for me. This was the best episode of the entire season of season 7. But
absolutely agree. Oh, absolutely agree.
Go on, Martin. Take it away, The Apprentice.
You know, I know they motion capped the duel, the lightsaber fight, but did they motion cap any other times throughout this season? Because sometimes the movement looked fluid, like.
Yeah.
I think it was just that fight. I think.
But I get where Martin's coming from because there are moments in this. Yeah. It looks so good.
Oh, but wow. God, you must all agree, hopefully, that Ray Park, they brought him back. Oh, they had him back.
Probably one of the best choices they made for the series.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was Lauren Mary Kim, I think her name was Ahsoka Tano in that motion capture. She was awesome as well.
She was brilliant. I just couldn't believe it. How I've watched the behind the scenes video of them going at it, and they weren't holding back.
I don't know if there was any more in the season, but that fight was incredible to see.
Mm-hmm. It's safe to say Ray Park is in some of the best duels in the whole of the franchise.
Yeah,
Maul he absolutely bosses it. Yes. I don't think Maul's ever won a fight.
No, but that's his character, isn't it? He's based off, I forget his name, in Greek mythology. He's almost born to lose. He is this, like, this force that whenever he's trying to push the rock up the hill, it always is going to fall down. Yeah. Because that's what he is.
Freddie Prinze said, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's based off of a character in Greek mythology. You know, that's what Star Wars is, you know. Star Wars takes and borrows a lot from other mythologies. See, humans do that. Even subconsciously, we do that a lot, you know. And I think you can definitely tell that Maul belongs in this storyline. You know, he belongs.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's...
In the second tier, so to speak, of canon, you know, and I don't mean that in an offensive way, but obviously you put live action top and then you've got this other tier. And I think he fits in so well. What are you saying about that, Lukey boy?
He almost balances out Ahsoka's light as well. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. They almost could make an awesome team together. Like, I'm not going to say a dyad in the Force, but.
Because
there's even nods to it when there's explosions and you have the fire embers and the glass, like light and dark coming together.
That's a good point, actually. Because, I mean, that's just one of the mental moments. I mean, just in this episode, why are you here? Kenobi mentions Dooku is dead, so we know where we are. Maul uses like the Kylo Force mind reading on Jesse, the clone. Maul asks Ahsoka to help him take Insidious down. He mentions him. She agrees. Maul then says, after he questions him, I'm going to kill Anakin because he's going to be the one to bring it all down. They have their fight, which I think was incredible. You know, even when it's on like the rooftops of the city in Mandalore, and then Maul, you know, getting stunned and then screaming, "We're all going to die!" It's just like in 20 like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, that was
Christ, man! And all of that in 23 minutes.
I was exhausted by the end of it.
One of the things, okay, Matty boy, this is something that you know, is that one of the things when we visited Mandalore in the Clone Wars earlier, it really bugged me, like the design of the city.
You weren't a fan, were you?
It doesn't look Star Wars-y. It looks very cartoony, like something you'd see in Powerpuff Girls or something. But in this episode, or in this arc, It looks a lot more believable. I know that's a very you know, shallow thing to notice, but it you know, to me that matters. You know, the design, the aesthetic, it all needs to be coherent. It all needs to be believable. And I felt in this design, they didn't just change the design of the city in Mandalore. It was a lot more, almost darker. It was more rough, and it is almost symbolic to what's happening to the Mandalorian civilization.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that this was a great power at one point, and now they're a pawn. You know, they're a pawn on a chessboard. And I thought that was a really interesting, you know, little visual tasty snack.
What about the banter between Maul and Ahsoka?
Yes, go on.
Oh, yes.
Ahsoka treated some of her one-liners like about, like, you know, I can sense Obi-Wan's arrogance in you and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I love the banter between them.
Yes.
And then Kenobi even says, you know, Maul doesn't know how to die, so it's best you capture him.
Yeah.
And she literally does it. She captures him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fair
play
so
to her.
Good. She does it. It is quality. I still can't get over, Martin's already mentioned this, the bit where he's like, where Ahsoka's like, yeah, well, you're serving the Republic, you're serving the Chancellor instead of what's doing what's right. And once again, you guys know, a few weeks ago, we did a topic on the failure of the Jedi. And I think I'm so happy we put that out a few weeks ago, because that's what Dave Filoni's been saying recently, and once again you see that in this arc. You see the Jedi, they're mugging themselves off, and they know it. They know it. They know the clone army was ordered by some nutter, and they know, and yet they go along with it. They are still going along with it.
And to further your point, Mace's arrogance against the B1 battle droids. The arrogance that he has there, that, oh, I've defeated blah, 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 so many of you, and he just thinks he can take them all down by himself.
What? Well, back to Mace as well. I've started to notice that over the three prequels and the Clone Wars, as you get closer to Order 66, as Maul says, the dark side is now stronger than ever. Mace does get closer to the dark side, right up to the point where he's fighting Palpatine, and you can see the hate in his eyes.
And Anakin says, you know, we've got to put him on trial, and Mace is like, no, no, we're killing him right here.
It's
like,
no,
now.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the Jedi.
He's doing the un-Jedi thing, I guess you could say.
And whereas Anakin is actually saying, well, he's saying, I need him alive because, you know, I need him to save my marriage, which you don't know about, and my kids, which you don't know about. But also, he does say, you know, this isn't the Jedi way, and it's Mace is just like, you know, buzz off, mate. Mace, and obviously the purple lightsaber, the blue and red combined, is obviously a fairly obvious hint of that. But yeah, Mace, and then he calls later on, he calls Ahsoka a citizen.
Yeah, in the most way condescending he says it just makes it makes I think it made a lot of people, like, Mace went down in people's ranking of characters.
Been trying to cancel
what
Mace.
Was it then though that you would hang back just to, you know, are you all right, love? You know, just check she's okay. And
more to say, you have.
And it's that scene that on that hologram scene, which we see in Revenge of the Sith, and obviously now we see right after that Ahsoka walks in. But it's Aayla Secura, Ki Adi-Mundi, and Mace Windu. They all fade away, as we know that in Order 66 they're going down, or at least Mace is going down and then Isla and Ki-Adi-Mundi are going to pass away. The only one left is Yoda, which I thought was extremely symbolic, but also a massive foreshadowing that these three are going. But Yoda, the one who actually has any kind of consideration, is still there. Isla might have been a sweet person, but she's going down. We know that, so she's fading away as well. But Yoda's the only one left, and I noticed that first straight away, and I was like, now we're getting to the beef of this story now.
Yeah,
I think one of the what's the name? It foreshadows Order 66 so much. It's in so many ways. The state of the Jedi, the state of the galaxy. There's this dude who's all in control of everything. Oh, I wonder who that is. And lo and behold, it happens. And ironic. We all know what is coming. Order 66 happens. And for me, when I was watching it, it's silly because I thought it was going to happen, but it almost felt out of the blue. But it was right. It was right. It was the right decision to make, because that's exactly what the Order was for many people, for all the Jedi. It was just out of the blue. It was like, oh, well, no, they wouldn't have been like that. classic Ben Solo. Ouch. Serious though, like that, and it just like that, the show changes.
And in episode three of the four arc as well, they didn't leave it to the last episode. Yeah. Go on, Katie.
Isn't it the third episode where obviously you still have the Lucasfilm LTD or whatever at the start in green, but then it's in the logo's in red, which and there's no music, there's no like. There's none of that because they want to make they're setting the tone straight away.
The tone and the music just keeps you on your toes all the time.
The music
was
breathtaking.
I was tense when that episode started. I'm sitting here thinking it's coming. When's it going to happen? When's it happening? It's like you can't not sit still because I was sweating.
You're needing
everything
to know.
And then Ahsoka says, "Do you clone the best thing to come from this war?" And then Rex get taken away, and you're thinking, no, don't do it. And then Rex starts crying. It's like, don't do this.
But isn't it incredible where Ahsoka is just there and she hears that whole scene in Palpatine's office?
Oh, mate.
And using Revenge of the Sith audio was incredible.
Yeah.
And they use Matt Lanta for one line where Anakin says, "What have I done?"
Yeah.
They re-edited that. They actually got Matt Lanta in to re-record that. But it was great hearing Mace, Anakin and Palps or in their actual like movie form. That was a wicked moment. What I would have liked though, and I know this is proper like Star Wars fans who are never happy, but I wish we'd seen that moment of Ahsoka sensing Plo Koon's death, because obviously Plo Koon found her.
The connection.
I wish we'd seen that. And that's one of the things which bugged me about this final arc, is that I do think there was a few things they missed which could have tied things up. Like that wouldn't have just been a great moment. We were tied up the actual series.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get other Jedi's doing their Order 66 as well. I thought we were going to see more of Kanan or Caleb Doom and his master, but we didn't get anything like that. It literally just kept us with the Ahsoka and Rex. I suppose they didn't want to take us out of that moment.
Yeah, it was all Ahsoka's story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You would have lost that moment where Rex is trying to control his orders.
Yeah. And that's the thing that gets me. Like, I mean, we'll get to it on the last episode. But you can see when he's told to do it, and then as soon as he sees her, he doesn't shoot straight away. He's got his guns up, and his hands are shaking. And if you look closely, he's crying. Like he doesn't, gets me so. Yeah. Because when I always say when Rex cries, everybody cries.
And he's saying, "You've got to find fives, got to find fives." And then they start laying down their fire, and eventually Ahsoka goes to
find.
And you
get Revenge of the Sith music.
Anakin's scene with the choir. Oh my God. It was
incredible. And then she takes Rex out, finds the inhibitor chip, like, "I'm one with the Force and the Force is with me." Yeah. Tie back to the best Star Wars film
That's
out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that was just in the third episode. And I mean, It was mental. So I get that. Obviously, it would have been nice to see other Jedi get murdered in Order 66. The way they did it.
Classic montage.
That's it. Luke blowing all over that. But the way they did it, was just keeping it on Ahsoka. The more I think about it, I dig that because that's where the story needed to be. But Katie, you mentioned episode 4 then. I don't mean to ignore the part 3, but let's incorporate that as well then, because obviously this is it. The season, the series finale, guys. What say you? Victory and death.
I feel like, well, add episode 3 and 4 together, and I guess watch it as one thing. It's probably some of the best Star Wars content ever. Like some of, not just animation wise, but everything. Yeah. If you just put both of those together, it's just crazy. It is crazy. I mean, and it's.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, Ahsoka and Darth Maul working together to a point. As well, which is crazy. And it's episode 4 with the hallway scene, isn't it?
I think there's two, isn't there? There's one in 3 and one in 4.
Episode 3.
Is it 3? 3, because I feel like if we bypass that, because Jesus Christ, yeah. that hallway scene, yeah, and I bought it. It tops the Vader one for me.
Well,
it definitely does.
We have no lightsaber,
because I feel it's a lot more savage in the sense that I don't think there was any Ray Park mocap in that.
No.
But just the way he's got, you think about it, one, he's got no lightsabers, he's got no he has protection, but he's got no lightsabers. Mm-hmm. But so he basically just uses the Force, and it's just the way he takes out those clone troopers is the fact that, you know, one, he pulls a piece of the wall out, he throws at them, and obviously it doesn't need to show it, but he takes off their heads.
Yes.
And that's so brutal. And then, you know, he brings two walls together and smashes two together. And then it was the last bit of, like, he wanted obviously a comm link, so he held him through the door, and he did obviously the old Mandalorian thing. And his arm came off. I'm just thinking that, like, you know, going back to the point of, like, you know, this is a kid's show, and then it's not. It's like, because that is just incredibly.
Did you watch this with your mental. With your young daughter, Martin?
Yeah, we watched it. Yeah, on the day
you said that really happily.
It came out.
Did you watch that scene and think, "Ooh"?
I did actually. I was thinking, but no, she was gripped. I was on the edge of my seat, and I just thought, "What on earth is going on here?"
we'll getting into that, obviously, that the main part of that final episode then is Ahsoka escaping a whole Star Destroyer's worth of clones with Rex. Maul's on the loose, and essentially leads them to that hangar with that one ship to escape. And obviously, there's more to it in that. For me, I mentioned on the other show that there was something bugged me about that, and I think it breaks some of the rules of Order 66 that Ahsoka and Rex managed to fight off an entire battalion, like a Venator Star Destroyer of clones. And they're firing at her, and they're missing her like fools. Whereas in the film, they're mowing fools down left, right, and centre. But in this episode, I was like,
they become stormtroopers.
Yeah, and again, this is another thing where I'm like, I know we know that she survives, and Rex does, and Maul. So the stakes for me were taken out. But I did think at times it was a bit like when she's hanging there, and seven of them are shooting. Like, Dave, come on, don't do that.
Poor R7.
There were feelings of that, because I agree with that, mate boy. Because there were moments where I was like, I don't know if they would have done this. The only thing I could say, just playing devil's advocate or just trying to be balanced, is I suppose Ahsoka had the advantage where she did have Rex doing that. Whereas under normal circumstances, I'd imagine in that moment where Rex is resisting, Ahsoka would have been dead. So the element of surprise was effectively taken away. And plus, I guess Ahsoka knew the clones. That's the only thing. And I say that as in that she knows, like, the weak points. She knows their strengths and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that could help from that perspective. But I do know what you mean. But I still think, you know, for me anyway, it didn't take away from the power of this arc, especially the end bit, you know, Maul being, like you said, Katie, Maul being a savage was crazy. It was crazy. And part of it felt, some of it felt like I was almost expecting more, but I didn't know what to expect, you know, because the arc effectively ends with a galactic cruiser, you know, nose diving into a planet.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And it's like...
It mirrors the crash in Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
When they bring the ship into Coruscant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does.
Yeah.
And does anyone know what the name of that planet was, by the way?
Well, they said it was a moon, they said, but I don't think it's been... Because when I saw one of the stills, I was like, it's Zepho, but it's from Fallen Order, but it isn't.
I assumed it was one of the moons of Bogdan, that where Dooku hires, what's his name? Jango Fett.
So yeah.
It sort of ties it all back in. They end where they began. Do you know what I mean?
I've seen that somewhere else.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So that ending scene, that final. Again, I know you may have more points, but that Lukey boy mentioned it. It's the elephant in the room. That final little epilogue with Vader.
I don't think anybody expected it either. They expect, I think everybody would have been not happy because it's not a happy ending, but would have been happy for it to end before that happened. But then you're like, okay, there's more.
Obviously, yeah, they actually have the clone like grave site. They put the helmets on the sticks as a sign of respect, and Ahsoka drops the lightsaber. And then after that, obviously the snow comes. Vader's there. He ignites the blue. And he sees and he finds Ahsoka's lightsaber, and you see the final shot is Vader walking away. With it reflected in the clone's helmet. So that kind of final moment. So we're crashed now. Ahsoka and Rex are doing their thing, and then Vader. What are we thinking? Colin?
How far into the future do you think that is? I keep going with I go between like 5 and 10 years.
So I reckon it's only about a year or two.
I'm thinking it's around Empire time and where Vader's starting to turn back. Because I think that would play heavy on him turning back as well.
Because they said they didn't want anyone but Luke being. Any part of him turning,
yeah.
So that's why I said a year or two because I don't want anyone else other than Luke Skywalker being, or maybe Padme when he gets to it, being kind of the part of the reason. Again, nothing against any character, but it takes away from me what Luke Skywalker did to bring his father back.
I was just going to say it's also quite like obviously I don't feel sorry for Vader at that point, but you kind of like I feel like when he's holding the lightsaber or he has it turned on. I don't know if I see a bit of... Because, I mean, you can see through his helmet as well. You can see his eyes, which is mental to see. And it's... I feel like I can see Anakin there for, like, one split second thinking about this is what I've lost.
And isn't it the same eye where he breaks the mask in Rebels?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it is when he turns around. Yeah, that's a good shout. What about you, Martin, mate? That final end with Rex and Ahsoka and then Vader.
Do you know what? That scene, it hit me hard. I just wasn't expecting it. And seeing the helmets on the made-up graves, that was heavy.
That's when, sorry to interrupt, that's when they were painted as Ahsoka, that's when it made more emotional weight for me then.
But also, the lack of voice audio, you're just left with this somber tones. And that's all you needed, really.
Yeah.
So what could they say?
Yeah, because that's although I know we've mentioned it a few times in this show that it is effectively a kid's show, you know, this story doesn't have a good ending. This story right now doesn't have a good ending. Clone Wars was just a massive, massive chess move.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who wins? The Jedi don't win. Ahsoka doesn't win. Anakin and Obi-Wan don't win. The clones certainly don't win. Palpatine wins. That's it. That is the only person who wins. And I think that, you know, that ending just summarizes that because it's cold and it should feel cold. And I think that is the journey that it shows. And I think it was a tremendous way to end it.
When Vader was flanked by Imperial stormtroopers, who obviously took over from the clones, and they're looking at the buried helmets of the clones, and it is kind of like the final, like this is very much now, and that was the past. It is like the burying of that part of galactic history, which was very, very moving. So I thought that whilst I wasn't a huge fan of some parts of this episode. Because I'd heard online that it was the best thing ever. I don't think it was. I think the Phantom Apprentice blasts this one out of the water. But that ending, not just with Vader, but the actual moment before with Rex and Ahsoka as they, you know, have the memorial, and that's powerful, man. And then obviously Vader finding the lightsaber, which he gave to Ahsoka. It's powerful, man. So, I mean, in terms of the actual 12th episode arc, Which one do you guys say was your favourite?
It's got to be between Phantom Apprentice and the last episode, Victory and Death. What's it called? Victory and Death. It's got to be between those two.
Lukey Boy Summerfield?
The Shattered for me.
Which is the third one of this,
Martin Reed? I was going to say Shattered as well, yeah. Fives.
Yeah. That's my... Lukey Boy?
I can't
Which
help.
Which Martez arc did you like the most?
Yeah, and the Martez. Spicy, mate. I'm going to say it's a toss-up between Phantom Apprentice and Victory and Death. It's hard to choose between the two because the Victory and Death, for me, punches in the right place emotionally.
They're both amazing for different reasons.
Exactly. I would just say, and I know I do this a lot, so I'm cheating, but I don't care. The last arc in general, I think if you can, it is just one. It is glorious and a great way to send off Clone Wars. And I don't know about you guys, but it gets me wanting to watch Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
That's just what I've just started doing now. Just got back into Rebels again.
Yes, you have. That is a naughty thing to say.
I do hope at when, obviously, the world's getting back to a sense of normality and, you know, cinemas start opening again, because people are petitioning it. I really, really, really hope Disney might think about it. Like, just put all those episodes together, like those four episodes, and put them in the cinema for a cinema experience.
I would
just
love to see that. Oh. I hope they do that,
I don't think it's
going to
happen, but I really, really hope... Like, at least think about it, because that would
come down to Basildon and we'll all go watch it together.
That would be insane.
No, that would be class.
I agree. This final arc was, for me, it had its ups and downs for me, but it was the best of the lot. And the Phantom Apprentice for me was my number one. And interestingly enough, today I found out that The Clone Wars is the number one most streamed show on Disney Plus in the United States in a minute. Mandalorian's number two. Star Wars, is it dead? Is it hell? So, final question now for you guys before we wrap it all up. Season 7's been and gone. We've had three arcs, but we've had seven seasons. How did season 7 stack up to the rest of the series? Now, knowing all the ups and the downs and the hype of Clone Wars saved, how did this stack up to everything that came before?
Well, I think it shows how much the show has grown. Mm-hmm. And there's the animation that just got better and better, and the characters just are fantastic. And then the music... Kevin Kiner, his music has just got better and better as well.
I keep saying Kevin Kiner, I think, has earned the right to maybe have his own movie.
Yes.
Yes. I agree. They need to get him involved, definitely.
Very Blade Runner and also Stranger Things as well. Yeah. I got vibes of those things. Very, very, very dark and haunting, but also just poppy enough for it to be fun.
Yeah, that's not too depressing. Great. So, yeah. Martin, how did this season fare for you as compared to the others?
This one, for me personally, it punched up above the rest because it melds everything together. It solidifies what's come before, but it solidifies what comes. We know what comes next. It brings it all together.
Yeah. And Katie?
There's obviously moments from past seasons, so the Domino Squad and the Umbara arc and things like, and you know, the conspiracy with Fives and things like that. There's loads of good moments for obviously what's gone before, but I feel like this season definitely, obviously it being the most recent helps, but it will stick in my mind for a long time, especially obviously those last four episodes, especially because it does a really good job, as Martin said, you know, tying everything together, connecting everything, and you know, tying a neat little bow into everything, you know. So it stacks up very, very high. But as I said, it stacks up very, very high for me personally in all Star Wars content, not just animation.
That's what it's all about. That's wicked. And again, like you say, if your experiences in cinema and with streaming and that's incredible to hear that everything that's been and gone, this is what's going up there for you. Luke Bly, Season 7 of a man like me, I think, who prefers Rebels. What are you thinking, mate?
I think it's tremendous. I think the middle arc lets it down. I don't want to tread on ground that people have already said, because I do think overall this is a amazing success. It deserves the popularity it has. I'm not surprised it is the most popular thing on Disney Plus right now. But Yeah, I think there are moments and arcs in other seasons I did prefer, other than Siege of Mandalore. I think Siege of Mandalore is definitely, definitely up there. And for me, I'm just glad that this bit of canon is finished. It bugged me that Clone Wars just kind of stopped and it was canon. So you just kind of had this weird... So they were going to end it. They were going to end it at some point. So, yeah, I'm very pleased with what we got. And I think it is, once again, a testament to Dave Filoni's ability to create Star Wars. And I think he is getting better and better.
He gets it, doesn't he?
He does get it.
Yeah, he does. He does.
I mean, to all the people that, you know, to the part of the fandom that thinks Disney's not good for Star Wars, I mean, they brought you back Clone Wars and they brought you this. So... There you go.
What more could you want? Yep, Luke Bly, Martin Mead, Luke Summerfield, Katie Stubbs, dirty. I think this was a good season. I think you had a great arc. I think you had a very good arc, and I think you had an okay arc. I think so. You've got kind of three levels on the spectrum for me. And Bar arc still wins for me. I'm glad Katie mentioned that, because that arc is just boss. So I was happy with this final season. You know, had it been an extra 8 episodes, I think we would have got something out of this world, I think, especially with everything Filoni's learned since then and where we know the story went. But we got 12 episodes. I'm not going to complain. And like Luke Bly said, they've tied it up now. We've got our ending. And the way they ended it, I don't think they could have done any better. So, guys, I think that kind of rounds up our roundtable. So, everybody, I want to say thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been an absolute blast.
Yeah, you absolute legends, and I'm sure it won't be the last time you guys are on. We love to chat the wars, and it's great. It's just great to talk to people who are passionate about Star Wars. You know, that's our favorite thing in the world, especially right now. It's absolute class. So thank you so much, everyone.
No, and it's a great idea by Lukey Bly for this particular episode. This man, not just great hair, great ideas as well. But Lukey Bly, I think that does round up the second Star Wars roundtable session. So if the guys out there listening want to find us, what's the deets?
They can find us at starwarssessions.co.uk. There's our cheeky little website. They can find us on Twitter at Star Wars Session with no S at the end. That's at Star Wars Session on the Twitterverse. And they can slide into our galactic DMs on the Instagram at Star Wars Sessions. That's at Star Wars Sessions on Instagram. Or feel free to drop us a cheeky voice note or a cheeky message to our email address, sws@whatarewatchedtonight.co.uk. That's sws@whatarewatchedtonight.co.uk. And if you want to support the show further, please consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions.
You can hear us now also on Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, iHeartRadio, some place called Owltree, wherever that is. And everywhere else in the galaxy, you can find a podcast. We're there. If you love our show, please do consider leaving us a good review on your podcast provider of choice. And also head on over to podchaser.com. It's the IMDb for podcasts. We're on there, so that makes it awesome. And if you have 30 seconds, please do drop us a good review on there too, because it helps the show grow, gets more listeners to engage with as along with you guys. As we say, we love hearing from you guys every week, and we do mean it when we say thank you.
And please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell the King of Wales and his neighbour. Tell your Ewok, tell your cousin, the more the merrier, the castle's spicier.
Tell him all about the Martin Midichlorians. Yes, I got it in there. Tell him this is the podcast you're looking for. So to our guests, thank you all so much for coming on and joining in this roundtable session. From me, see ya, and from Luke.
May the Force be with you. Always. Midichlorians, that is class.
Hey.